Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom and pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
There are people out there who question why the letters BWS go together so well in BWS Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. These people are in denial about the fact that BWS spells happy home. It surely does. You'll find these same people at the State Fair eating crispy lutefisk steam buns or dill pickle cheese curd tacos. I'm not even making that up. They'll be chowing down on walleye fritter pops on a steak with a side of comeback sauce and a slice of lemon while questioning the spelling of the Twin Cities best spelled home service company. BWS just doesn't seem quite so exotic when you compare it to something like a bacon wrapped waffle dog with cheddar cheese, pickle slices, and burger sauce. We know that it will be hot at the State Fair, and you'll want to enjoy your air conditioning when you get home. Make sure it's working like a Purple Ribbon Grand Champion by calling the professionals at BWS Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
BWS spells happy home.
Now, please pass the dill pickle lemonade.
Welcome back to the Empire Builders Podcast. I'm Dave Young. I'm with Stephen Semple. And Stephen just whispered the topic into my ear, and I missed something, Stephen. You said franchise, and I didn't quite catch what franchise we're going to be talking about.
We're going to talk about how franchising... A little bit of the history of franchising.
The idea here is the idea of a franchise.
Yeah. Right?
The business model, if you will.
Yeah, because if we think about, you know, the concept of this podcast as we're talking about empires, how many business empires today would not exist if it wasn't for the concept of a franchise, where you create something and you license to that person the right to operate, and, you know, and it's grown today into being the business model and all those other things. It has allowed numerous numbers of ordinary citizens to own successful businesses and generate wealth. It has also created a way for businesses to grow rapidly because of the fact that they're able to leverage the person's interest, hardworking expertise, and money in order to grow these businesses. Especially in the restaurant space, there's no way companies like McDonald's and Wendy's and all of these other businesses would have been able to grow at the rate that they grow if franchising had not been created, perfected, developed, and modernized. And, you know, those things have a journey that they went on as well.
Those two key points you mentioned, like it gives the average person an opportunity. If you can scrape up enough money to buy a franchise, you now own a business.
Correct.
And if you own a business, you created a business, and you want to quickly expand to multiple markets, you can do it with other people's money by giving them their piece of their own little location, as opposed to like going and borrowing it all or doing some kind of a public offering, those kinds of things, to kind of an alternate way of growing fast.
A really interesting Netflix show to watch, and it's, you know, it's not a documentary, but it's actually pretty accurate, is The Founder with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, the Ray Kroc story.
Yeah, the Ray Kroc story. And one of the things that Ray Kroc discovered was the best franchisees, so franchisees are the people purchasing the franchise, were actually common, everyday, hardworking folk who wanted to make a better life for themselves. And buying a McDonald's franchise was that avenue that actually made a better life for them. And they were the best source of franchisees, not rich folks who were looking for investments. And look, Chick-fil-A today, it's very difficult to become a Chick-fil-A franchisee because they want to look at it and say, do you fit in? Are you that type of person? Will you actually be a great part of this family? And in Culver Restaurant, which I forget what episode Culver Restaurant is, we talked about how, you know, Culver, it's really, really important to them that basically franchisees really fit into what's being created. I think it's worth exploring the history of franchising. And I have to right a wrong, because back in episode 94, we talked about Martha Harper. And I referred to the fact that Albert Singer was the first commercial franchise. And there's a lot of histories. Like, you read about this all over the place, that Albert Singer and the Singer sewing machines as being the first commercial franchise dating to 1851. Well, guess what? That's wrong. Because in 1851, John Albert Singer was only 8 years old. And the Singer Manufacturing Company never offered franchises. Their stores were not franchised. They were all corporate owned. So that is a piece of fact or piece of information that's floating pretty widely in the internet that is actually, in, believe it or not, hold your breath, Dave, inaccurate.
What the, wait. Now this is the headline. There's inaccurate information floating around on the internet.
Yeah, there is.
I also remember us, and I don't remember the episode number, but and I can't remember her name, but the woman that started the first hair salon.
Martha Harper.
So that still leaves her as sort of the first franchise.
Well, she's the first one who modernized it. So the first person who had kind of had the franchising concept happened in the United States in Philadelphia on September 13th, 1731, by a guy you may have heard of, because I know you're American, so you may have heard of this gentleman's name, Benjamin Franklin.
Well, of course it was Benjamin.
So Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Whitmarsh entered into an agreement for the carrying on of the business of printing in Charleston, South Carolina. So while it's not identical to the modern day franchise system, a lot of the important elements of franchising was in this agreement. The agreement was for 6 years. Whitmarsh was required to manage the business himself. He was responsible for the expenses of the business. All the equipment and the paper needed for the business were to be purchased from Franklin, and Whitmarsh was responsible for maintaining the agreement. Whitmarsh also agreed not to engage in any other printing businesses during this time, and Franklin was free to enter into additional relationships with others. And Whitmarsh printed a lot of Benjamin Franklin's works, including the Poor Richard's Almanac, and things along that lines. So it had a lot of the elements of a franchise agreement.
What did he pay Benjamin Franklin for?
You know, I wasn't able to find out how much he paid.
Like, it sounds like it was a pretty one-sided deal.
But it's like a franchising, but you're able to conduct this business. I'm going to use you for printing the things. I said it had some of the early elements.
Maybe he supplied the press.
Yeah, it had some of the early elements of a franchise. And how we also know is when Whitmarsh died in 1733, Franklin appointed Louis Timothy to operate the South Carolina printing business.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's also interesting to note that when Louis died, Franklin did a franchise, did the same agreement with Louis' wife, Elizabeth, which gives her the distinction of being the first female publisher in North America.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting that that history started with Benjamin Franklin. Now, the person who really modernized it, again, the first that we were able to find that really kind of created really the modern day structure that we operate off of today is Martha Harper, who we talked about back in episode 94, where what she did is she created a hair care franchise. And it really was franchise because you were able to use the name. You were trained by her. There was equipment that she had patented that you would get exclusive rights to. You had to buy everything from her. She had operating manuals that you could do. So in other words, it was much more like how the modern day franchise is, where you're really picking up the name, the systems, the equipment, the processes. And she actually did the marketing also for the people. So she would do the marketing in your town. So it was much more like the modern day franchise. And as we know, even though her name is lost to history, you know, she grew to 500 salons.
That's a pretty big deal.
Right. Right. And there was a training school and all of those other things. And the last one, as we know, last location closed in 1972. So it actually existed for a very, very long period of time. But to put the record straight, the history of franchising started with Benjamin Franklin doing this basic agreement, which was really more of a supplier agreement. And then Martha Harper taking that idea and really perfecting it into the franchise we have today. And then guys like Ray Kroc really running with it and proving it as a business model for growing businesses.
Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up this story and tell you how to apply this lesson to your business right after this.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Great.
great.
Yeah, I just had an amazing 90 minutes.
You did?
With the host of the Empire Builders podcast.
Really?
You've heard the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I finally took him up on the starter session.
So you drank the Kool-Aid.
Guzzled it.
How did it taste?
Well, he answered those questions that were keeping me up at night. Now I know what I need to do. So it tasted like strawberries.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, and you can book your free starter session on this podcast website.
Okay, Dave. Say, and they haven't missed a thing.
Let's pick up our story where we left off, and trust me, you haven't missed a thing.
To me, this tells why the franchise as a model has been so popular in the United States, especially. The general population of the United States is, man, almost half of the U.S.'s are Myers-Briggs SJ types. If you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs personality type, when we were using Myers-Briggs for marketing and writing and SJ, we talk about them as being methodicals.
Right.
Okay. And so there's a sort of a mindset of give me the system, give me the plan, and I will follow the plan.
Right.
Right. I will follow it to the letter. And those are the people that are going to do really well. They're going to do better than others in a franchise because
absolutely.
If it's a good franchise, you've got the book.
Yes.
Right. It's not just here's the brand. There's a piece of land, get on it.
Right.
Right. It's no, here are the 6,000 steps you need to make in this order before you open your door.
Right.
And here are the training things you need to do. McDonald's has a university, right?
Yes.
McDonald's, you're going to send your managers and you're going to learn how to train people. So SJs, right? They're the people that can take a plan like that and just say, okay, there's the plan. Let's execute the plan. And we think about Wizard Academy being like Wizard Academy is sort of an NT, an NF. It's an intuitive type place. So entrepreneurs that want to invent their own thing, that want to come up with a whole new kind of thing, don't do really well with franchises.
No, they don't.
They want to put tacos on the Burger King menu. So there's a place for innovation, but it's typically not in the out in the field type franchise.
Well, and this is the mistake that I think even owners make and franchisors make. They are the innovative person who's done all this and they want to bring on somebody like them. And it's like, no, you don't want to bring on somebody like you. You want to bring on somebody who's actually going to execute the ideas. You don't,
yeah.
You actually don't want a super innovative person in that role. Maybe a little bit is fine, but really what you want is somebody who's going to execute. But here's the other important role I think franchising has played in the North American economy, because it's similar sure. in Canada, is when we take a look at the creation of wealth in North America, people who have become rich come from one of three sources, and it's basically pretty equally spread. One is inherited. So you got lucky. The other is celebrities and corporate CEOs. I put those together as a group. And then the last is owning of a business. So a third of the uber wealthy, not even just the uber wealthy, the wealthy in North America have come from owning a business. Now, here's the interesting part on this. This is a tale of two cities, because the other half of it is the vast majority, almost 80% of businesses don't make it to their 10th anniversary. I think it's actually 75%, but it's way more than half. And most businesses, 80%, have 10 or fewer employees. So the other role that franchises have done is the people who have been really good franchise operators that have bought into good franchises like a McDonald's or a Tim Hortons have become wealthy.
Yeah.
Have been able to become wealthy because they've been able to own this piece of a very successful business and make a good life for themselves. So it's served also a role inside of our economy, but it's also been an engine that has allowed businesses to grow. Now, there's another side to franchises. If you read Schultz's book, so he was like one of the early people in Starbucks, basically.
Starbucks.
Yeah. If you read his book, Pour Your Heart Into It, there's a whole section where he talks about the downside of franchising and the reason why Starbucks did not go that road. Because Starbucks stores are primarily corporate.
What was his primary reason?
Well, his primary reason was if you want to make a change, like so all of a sudden you decide, I want to bring this new piece of equipment in, or I want to reconfigure the restaurants, or I want to do this, that, or the other thing. You've got to get all the franchisees to buy on. When it's corporate, you just got to find the money.
Yeah.
You don't have to get anybody's approval to do anything. So in his mind, from a customer experience standpoint, it's much easier to innovate and bring new ideas in to it. And talk about innovation and new ideas. Man, I was just recently in Chicago. It's funny, we're talking about franchising and now we're talking about a company that doesn't franchise. But anyway, I was recently in Chicago and I went to the Starbucks Roastery, which is this four-story working roastery, which has also got a coffee shop in it. Man, just you want to talk about innovation and new ideas. Starbucks is taking the coffee experience up another notch. But so when I came across this information about Singer and how I was incorrect on that, I wanted to right a wrong. I thought it was very interesting that the history goes back, you know, to Benjamin Franklin. Like, man, what a dude.
Yeah.
And that Martha Harper actually played a far bigger role in the modernizing of franchising than I had realized. And really, it still amazes me that there's not a business school out there with her name on it.
I agree. Maybe we should change that.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable. So I encourage people to go back, listen to episode 94. It's probably one of my favorite stories, is the story of Martha Harper. It's really quite remarkable.
I wish more media outlets would be willing to set the record straight if they find out that that they made a mistake.
Yeah, no kidding.
Some kind of factual error.
No kidding.
Imagine what the internet would be like.
It would be a little different, I think.
I think it would. Well, thank you for doing that, Stephen. And it's fun. It's always fun talking about franchises. There's probably podcasts that all they talk about is franchises.
Oh, there are.
I'm sure of it. There's podcasts about everything.
There is that.
Hey, now wait. Don't go looking for those because you're listening to The Empire.
The interesting ones we'll cover here.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know if anybody says anything worth repeating. Thanks, Stephen.
All right, thanks, David.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please share us, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review. And if you have any questions about this or any other podcast episode, email to questions@theempirebuilderspodcast.com.